For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guy. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
No baseball today, unfortunately, because of the weather.
Right here.
But we do have a lot going on this weekend with Arkansas. Football practice really beginning. You got basketball this weekend where you'll be in Coleman Coliseum, and then people will still be in Bob Walker Stadium. And I don't know if you guys watched any. I was not there yesterday, but I did watch a good 15, 20 minutes of just practice film, watching the guys are doing. Again, sometimes you make too much of what's going on, but I found myself pretty locked in yesterday just seeing Petrino back on that field.
It was a different look. I saw some of the video when it was over. Obviously, you know, it was kind of, different. I don't want to go too far and use the word surreal. That wouldn't be accurate, but it was different to see Bobby Petrino back out there. There's no question about it. And I think that for fans yesterday around Arkansas, when they looked at the practice video, that's what they looked at. Maybe they got to the players. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they looked at Coach Pittman. Maybe. But I think that, you know, that was a scene for Razorback fans that, as you said a minute ago, Ty, I don't think people thought they would see again.
Well, what was the fan? I mean, not the media, and you do a good job of separating this. Sometimes things become more of a media story than a fan story. Is the fan most interested in that and how that's going to play out, or who's going to be the quarterback? Well, I wonder what – it's our job to figure out the pulse of the fan base is. I wonder what interests them right now after a practice or two.
Well, I think it's different for different people. You know, if you're one of those fans that, you know, you want to know every position and you worry during the day about what's going to happen at this spot or that spot, or at least you wonder about it, I think for them, you know, who the quarterback's going to be is probably the number one question. But I do think, for the average, everyday Arkansan who loves the Razorbacks, who may or may not know who the left tackle is, who may or may not care, I think Bobby Petrino is going to be the story for a little while. Now, once we get into the games in the fall, they're going to take over. And if we win, it's going to be because of him in a lot of people's minds. And if we lose, it's not going to be his fault in a lot of people's minds. And, you know, I'll look back to when Coach Pittman hired him. That was one of the things, frankly, that I thought was most remarkable about it. And I'm not surprised, because Pittman's not a big ego guy. But a lot of head coaches wouldn't have done that.
Nope.
In fact, 9 out of 10 head coaches wouldn't have done that. But as he said in his press conference earlier in the week, he just wants to win games. And when he says that, I believe him, because I've been around him and I know it's true.
Let's, you know, You know, we all understand the reason why. He'd like to keep his job. He'd like to end his legacy at Arkansas in a
well, but he's
a
competitor.
That, well, yeah, I, you know, I get.
We
but
think
you,
about that. He's already rich, Tommy. He's already rich. If he gets fired today, everything's fine. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He wants to win for all the people in that building.
I get that, but when you do this for 30 years, the last, you know, you don't want your last act being getting fired.
Oh, so I'm sure that's true too. Yeah,
I think that's probably more motivating than the money and keeping your job. Keeping your job means you can leave possibly on your own terms, or at least not, you know, being ushered out the door after a 3 or 4 win season. I think that's important to Sam Pittman more than money.
I think it's more important than money. Yes, I do agree with that. But I do think, and I've been around him enough to know, his biggest concern is the people in the building. Because as I say, if Sam Pittman's fired tonight, life's great. If Sam Pittman's fired tonight, the young staffer, his life's not great. His life's terrible. And I think those are the people that a good head coach, a good leader in any business, that's who they work for. That's what motivates them. And I think that's what motivates him. I know that's what motivates him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you say life's good. I was driving across the bridge over Lake Hamilton yesterday. The water level looked a little low, so it may be a few days before you get the boat in the water. So I mean,
that's where Jamie, he was telling Paul Feinbaum, that's where Jamie just came from. You bring up Lake Hamilton and the big.
I'm in Hot Springs now.
Yeah, the big Razorback he's got out front. Another, I mean, he wants to. I mean, you think about him. I mean, I've got friends that have lake houses on there, and they've seen him driving by, and he's not getting the finger when he's driving by. He's getting waves. You don't want it. You want to end on good terms. You want people to respect you when you're driving by that boat and say, hey, coach, hey, guys, 10 years later, not now because he's working.
No, there's no doubt about it. You want life after your career. And he made a decision a long time ago that he wanted to retire in Arkansas, that he wanted to be down on that lake. And anybody down there understands that. And you want to be able to, as you say, Ty, you're exactly right. You want to be in a spot to enjoy your retirement. And more than anything, you want your family, in his case, his wife Jamie, to be able to enjoy it. If you're a coach, criticism really doesn't bother you all that much.
Yeah, it's more, and I was going to say that because I remember it was funny, and Tommy taught me this when I first got in. It initially kind of affected me, but now it really it's just kind of goes off the way. So my dad sometimes like will see comments made towards me and like he gets offended. I'm like, Dad, who gives a you know what? Like, who cares? And coaches are kind of like that. It doesn't, they've done it. You mentioned Pittman's track record 30 plus years, Tommy. He's heard everything, every criticism, every bashing, everything. Yeah. It doesn't affect him. But when he got ticked off last year, and I remember him specifically citing this, it's like they came at Jamie. It's like, it's one thing to come at, like me, I'm a grown up, but you would come at my wife or you come at like other people in my family, that's when you get ticked off. So I get where you're coming from there.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out over the next few weeks, kind of, or be able to more solidly form opinions about different groups. Chuck, you made the point yesterday, if this thing's going to go to the next level from last year, and the only way to go is up, really, it's the offensive line. I mean, you can watch a video put out by the U of A. You could be at practice. You can go to some of these Saturdays that are open, but until we get a few more practices in and there's pads on and we're playing real football, we're I think it's dangerous to form very many solid opinions.
You're right. And it's interesting as we talk, you know, I'll go back to what we began this discussion with about, you know, who's paying attention to what, you know, when you watch practice, you know, when you make a statement about the offensive line, you're exactly right. I talked about it yesterday. Those are the things we pay attention to. I do think for most people out there, though, just seeing them out there on the practice field, seeing Petrino, I think that's what most people focus on right now. I think everybody understands that, at least from what we see as fans, you know, there's not a win or a loss in the spring. Now, for coaches and players, it's different. But because they're grading film every day. But for us, there's not a win or a loss. And I think most people are just, you know, football's back, at least for a couple of weeks. It'll dominate the discussion, or at least be a big part of the discussion. And then it'll die again until we start talking about it after baseball.
Wyatt jokingly texted in here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline after watching the 10 minutes of practice videos. He thinks this team is at least a 10-win season at this point in time. Great text, Wyatt, here this morning. We needed some comedy.
That's pretty good.
But we've gotten some, again, we've gotten said Petrino probably 15 times already this morning, so we might as well play a sound bite. Andrew Armstrong was pretty emphatic about what Petrino's done already.
Just go, 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 go. Like, just do everything, you know, fast. Make sure you where you are. Make sure you got your plays down. Make sure you're in the playbook. He won't yell at you as much as you think he does. He won't yell. Like, he'll just make sure you got the plays going, things like that. So I feel like because Petrino has came in and done an absolute astonishing job with us as, you know, helping us learn plays and things like that.
Let me say something about what he just said right there. He doesn't yell at you like people maybe think he does. Coordinators are the cerebral guys. They're the chess masters. They're the ones that are putting it all together. It's your head coach and sometimes your position coach that are the big screamers. If you've got a coordinator that can't be a cerebral football guy, that just completely relies on emotion, I don't know that that's, and I'm not saying completely relies, but relies a lot on emotion. I don't know that that's the equation. And let me tell you something. The good ones, they can break it down on paper in a way that'll make your head spin. Mm-hmm. And I think he's one of those guys. And so I would imagine his approach. Now, look, I think he's demanding. I'm sure he's demanding. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's
you're certain.
there's some getting on people every once in a while.
Nah.
But I don't think it's like it was. I really, now I'm not there. But my strong suspicion is, having been around football teams, that that's not the way it is.
You mentioned the head coach, and a lot of times, like you said, and this isn't just a football thing, the assistants are there to console, kind of calm you down a little bit. The head coach will rip you a new one. And when you transition to that role, and I mean, he's gotten older. Like, some guys get a little more rigid at an older age. Some guys kind of lighten up a little bit. And you mentioned his role change. I mean, there will be some yelling. Don't mistake yourself. He is going to chew someone out at some point this offseason, chew a couple people out, but it's probably going to not be as numerous as it was. I do think, and I can't remember who I was talking to about this week, I think Petrino had an impact getting these practices open on Saturday. Because if you remember, they're pretty open back when he was here. And I think he was encouraged, along with probably Sam's communication staff, that, hey, we need to get some positive buzz heading into this fall, whether it's going to work or not, whether the team's going to be good or not. But I think Petrino might have had an effect on getting this thing open for fans to see on Saturdays.
Maybe the hiring of Petrino. I don't think Petrino himself had anything to do with this.
I'd agree. I mean, I think we have to be careful when trying to say, well, here's what happened 15 years ago, and that's why it's happening now. I asked you the question yesterday, Chuck, are you a different person today than you were 15 years ago? Is your personality a little different? Is your habits, your mood, the way you do? Of course, we all are. You know, you go through different seasons and phases of life, and that's professionally, that's personally, that's your family, that's a lot of things. So, To assume Bobby Petrino's any different and, boy, he's going to just be a repeat of when he was the head coach, that's not right.
Well, I can tell you that still to this day, and it certainly was this way when he was the head coach, I shake my head and smile a lot of times, and I don't mean this in a bad way, when people start telling me what Bobby Petrino's like or start talking about what Bobby Petrino's doing or saying or how he thinks, because that's a different breed of cat.
Yeah,
but he's a football coach, and I think some of this stuff's, you know, it's interesting, but I think fans tend to focus on the yelling and the emotion and all that stuff. I don't think that's what makes a great offensive coordinator, and I think he knows that.
And you're right. Think about our audience, though, who it's predominantly you guys in 30, 40, 50, 60 and above, which their high school experience, their junior high experience was getting chewed out, getting yelled at. The old school ball coach. You have some listeners that are my age and younger. That's fine. But that's not as traditional. So when they see or hear about that and they remember, but they kind of liken it back to their days. And that's just how some guys like it. They like it seeing guys getting chewed out or yelled at. And Petrino has that. And Sam, and I think it's a little, when it comes to Sam Pittman, people sometimes were like, yeah, Sam doesn't do that. Sam does that. You just don't see it as much because it hasn't been, again, broadcasted and publicly because they haven't been in practice.
We mistake yelling and showing passion and getting on a ref as, well, that guy cares more. Well, no, that's just, you know.
If that was the criteria, Will Muschamp would be the greatest coach in the history of football.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah. Yelling doesn't win games. But we think that, well, that guy really cares. Look at the way he's getting that player.
That'll get you a top job. I mean, the truth of the matter is, and the guy I just named may be one of those guys that you cite. That sort of activity on the sidelines will get you a head coaching job. But it's not what's going to keep you a head coach.
No. There's other.
I mean, you can put on a show over there if you want, but emotion does not, being able to yell and scream and seemingly give fans the pound of flesh that they wish they could go get, that doesn't make you a good coach.
I still love that video when Muschamp and Saban's head coach of LSU, Muschamp's the DC back in like 2003, and they are just giving it to some defensive player. And that video is just stuck in my brain just from 20-something years ago. And like you said, Muschamp, decent, good defensive coordinator, not exactly head coaching material at Florida and South Carolina. Let's talk to Brent, who's in Searcy this morning on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. What's up, Brent?
What's going on, Tommy and Chuck?
Brent, did they run you out of Stuttgart? Is that what happened?
Chuck, I left with the best reputation ever.
Okay. All right. You didn't have to sneak out in the middle of the night or anything?
No. Hey, Chuck, you've known me a long time, right?
I have.
And you know my sister runs me, right?
Right.
My sister, she told me like last year, she said, your neighborhood's getting too rough. You're building a house in Searcy. I said, I don't know about that. She said, I do. You can afford it. Don't worry about it. So she designed me a house. I've been here for about a month and a half. I love it. Big Zach Clark's my main man in Searcy. You know, he's the head coach of Searcy Lions. And, hey, Chuck, I want to tell you this. I got Phil mad at me yesterday. Elson. Because I said, Phil, are you feeling pressure now that Chuck had to call a few baseball games for you? He did a really good job. That got Phil all discombobulated.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, no, that, look, Phil's the one. I was the fill-in guy. Phil's the one that does
it. But you were great. Now,
well,
let me
maybe
go to my point.
For a fill-in guy, maybe not bad, but that's
I think you're the best college baseball fill-in guy in the nation.
Let me just tell you, there's a lot going on in there that Phil knows that I don't. Believe me, it's a lot different than it used to be.
Now, let me say what I need to say. We need to make a change with our Lady Razorback basketball team. Holy mackerel. Mike Neighbors has to go. I mean, we lost our last three games by almost 100 points. That is unacceptable behavior. That is unacceptable. I don't know what's going to happen, but Hunter Yurchek's got to wake up and smell the coffee. He needs to make a change because the only program that's done good for the Razorbacks, and the ones that is baseball. He's had a terrible year in football, not the basketball year we expected. Hunter Yurchek needs to wake up and smell the coffee that a change needs to be made in the women's basketball program.
Yeah, softball's been good, volleyball's been good too.
Football's been so bad.
We got to fire the women's basketball coach. Yeah. Somebody's got to pay for this now. Yeah.
It's like Kentucky did something.
I hear you, Brent. I know a lot of people are upset about the way it ended. I know they are. I watched it last night. It was not pretty. I don't keep up with it enough to sit here and say he's doing a great job, he's doing a bad job. Clearly, the results this year have not been what they've wanted. And I'm sure everybody's going to look at that situation real hard. But for me to sit here, not being around it, for me to say somebody's got to go or somebody's got to stay, somebody should stay, I'm not really qualified to do that, I got to admit.
I haven't watched a full game of that team this season, so I'm in that same camp. If some people think that, that's your prerogative, but I'm kind of in that same. In regards to, I mean, appreciate
Let's find out what Petrino thinks. Yeah. I think that's what we should do.
Well, it's kind of like the whole, like, hey, Kentucky.
Maybe he can go there and yell at somebody.
Well, now, having said all this, part of your job, one of the realities of being a coach slash marketer right now is people should know how you're doing. People yeah. should have opinions on your team. People should be able to say, well, they're doing this or they're not doing that. That's what you want. You want people paying attention. So that is part of your job as a coach slash marketer. In women's basketball, that's just one of the realities. And so, you know, again, I think they'll take a good, hard look at this. But what they'll decide, I don't know. And I don't know what's best.
Yeah, in terms of your campus sports wise. All right. Three of your four top dog sports, women's basketball, men's basketball, and football have sucked. Your baseball team's good, right? Top five. But the three of the four that mean the most to you have not been good. You got a great softball team. You've got a good men and women's golf team. You've got a good track and field program. I mean, you got a lot of ancillary sports that are having a lot of success in Fayetteville. But the ones you care about the most, the ones you donate to, the ones you pay tickets to, the ones that you invest your time and all that stuff have not been good, with the exception of the baseball program. It's just, again, the others fall in different categories because we don't invest the same amount of time in those because they're just not as big of a deal in terms of the popularity of the sport. I'm not going to say they're lesser of sports, but they're just not as big of a deal to our audience in that sense, Brent. But I get where you're coming from that situation. Kind of went all over the yard with Brent there, as we usually do here on a Fast Break Friday. We do have basketball to look forward to tomorrow, Chuck. You're in Coleman Coliseum. This Alabama team, we'll talk more about what Muss had to say about it. They've lost three of four, two straight. This is the best offense. As crazy as Kentucky is offensively, Bama's better statistically. And if you let Estrada and really Sears get going tomorrow, it's probably not going to bode well in Coleman.
They've got a lot of ways to score. They really do. And the thing that I thought Arkansas did against Kentucky was they answered. You know, Kentucky had a lot of ways to score, too. And when Kentucky struck a blow, Arkansas struck one back. And I think that's the way you have to play a game like this. The idea that, oh, hey, we're going to go in and shut Alabama down in Coleman Coliseum. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are going to go in there, hopefully, and slow some guys down a little bit, keeping a guy that scores 22, maybe holding him below that average, taking their best player and, you know, maybe having him score six or eight below what he normally does. But the idea that you're going to come in there and just shut down Alabama, that's not going to happen. When they score, when they go on a run, you've got to score and go on a run too.
We might
and
be
that's
in,
what they did.
Yeah,
Lexington.
Might be in store for another Kentucky-Arkansas type of game where you got to score a lot of points to keep up.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So, Scott, we got some changes this weekend. They will not play Friday's scheduled game today. They'll play it tomorrow. If you have Friday tickets, you get in both games tomorrow. If you got Saturday tickets, you're kind of out of luck. They're supposed to get you some tickets later on today. But when you remember delays, well, how did that kind of change the thinking and game plan from Norm? And how do you think that changes the perspective from Dave Van Horn?
Well, the biggest thing is you just have to get to the park earlier. You change your time schedule when you eat in the morning, you know, if you're going to eat anything between the games. Back when I played, we played doubleheaders all the time. I mean, every midweek game was a doubleheader. You're getting to the field at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't get out of there till dark because we didn't have lights. So things have changed now, and playing a doubleheader, they act like is a big burden when, you know, I hate to say back in the day, but back in the day, that was just a normal day.
Just accustomed to it. Now, we see a lot of pitchers to this point. Still waiting on guys like Dylan Carter and Bybee and Dietz. Is there a pitcher that you haven't seen a lot of, or one of those guys that have been injured or trying to come back from mononucleosis that you're really excited to see this spring?
Bybee is one I'm really anxious to see, and I think everybody's kind of waiting because he was blown up to be pretty much the fourth starter just from what he showed, you know, early in the fall and the way he threw the ball and his potential and his accolades coming in. So Bobby is somebody I can't wait to see get on the mound and see if he produces as advertised.
Scott Tabor with us here on the Morning Rush. Our visit brought to you by Alumni Hall. Scott, I want to ask you about the midweek game. Arkansas played UCA, an in-state opponent. You felt like it was going to be a tough game going in, and it lived up to that. 9-7 the final. Arkansas had to scrap and had an explosive 7-run inning. What's the value in having, as we head into this McNeese State series this weekend, you got one with Oral Roberts, and then you begin SEC play. I mean, Arkansas had some tough games at Arlington, but having some games here heading into SEC play, what's the value of having to scrap for nine innings for this team to get them ready for the conference slate ahead?
I think the value is huge. It's as if a pitcher goes in and everything he throws is a strike and nobody touches him the whole game. You get kind of used to that happening. As a team, if you play a game and you have to scrap, you know, you may have a comfortable lead early and they start coming back, things get a little tense because things are tense from first inning through the ninth inning in the SEC. You never say, oh, we got them now. Because teams are explosive. You know, we're explosive. I think something that it really, really shows, and I can see this happening, is Van Horn kind of resorting back to old Van Horn and producing runs rather than waiting for the big ball. Because those just aren't happening. You know, they're just not happening the way everybody thinks they should. So I could see him changing the way he does things a little bit, a little more hit and run, a little more bunting guys over, getting a guy on second base with less than two outs and then try to hit him in. So I think playing tight games is telling him, you know, I need to change some things up.
Well, Hiva Aloy had a grand slam in that game. He's a guy that's been struggling at the plate. He's made some good contact, but with a good wind blowing out to left center, he got the ball out of the park to clear the bases. Is this something that could spark him? He's averaging 200 coming out of that game and heading into this weekend. Is that something that could be a kind of a flint for this, or is you know, what do you expect from Aloy moving forward?
Well, there's a difference between a 200 ground balls and strikeouts to the 200 line drives that guys all over the field. And I think his 200 is a hard 200, a very loud 200. And it's hard to tell a kid, hey, just keep swinging. You know, eventually they'll fall and you have five or six in a row go right to somebody. So hitting one out of the park, you know, a grand slam's fantastic. And it sparked the team. And so those little things add up, and I think he's going to be on track. I don't think he ever went away. He just didn't show up the way everybody thought he would early. And I think a lot of it's just because he wasn't hitting them where they ain't, and that's the best ball you can hit.
Scott Tabor with us via Alumni Hall. Scott, last non-conference series this weekend. I know you played in a different conference back in the old Southwest Conference days, but what kind of transition do you remember maybe being upped, maybe just in that locker room and then that dugout going, transitioning from the last non-conference weekend series to conference play starting up?
Well, I'm look at it a little bit different. As a pitcher, you didn't really look at things. I didn't look at things different. You know, the strike zone's the same. You know, the plate's the same width. It's 60 feet, 6 inches to home plate. And as a pitcher, you don't really ramp up. You're not going to throw it harder than you can. You're not going to try harder because you better be trying hard every pitch. Everything has to be precise. I think it's more of a team thing. I think it's more of a coaching thing. You know, these games are more important because they count against your conference record, but you go into every series trying to do the same things that you've been practicing and that you've been working on and that you've been having these high-leverage games and high-pitching, high-leverage pitching situations. Those are all good things to get ready for conference because they count heavier. So it's an overall attitude. It's not a individual player like they're going to ramp it up and all of a sudden start trying. So it's an overall feeling, and I think, like I said, producing runs, trying to steal some runs from the other team here and there, you know, where you're not waiting for the big inning all the time. I think those are the things that'll change.
So you guys were just talking about Vahibo Aloy there. I also want to talk about another Hawaii guy, and that's Nolan Souza. Played actually for Rick Nomera, who's the other Hawaiian that played for Arkansas. How much is he going to, given Dave Van Horn, to think about the infield the way he's been hitting the ball?
If you hit your plate, and he's got some guys that are starting to hit, and he's got to find a place to play them. You can't take bats out of the lineup because, you know, the other guy's supposed to be a really good hitter. So it's you know, doing what you're supposed to do versus what you think you can do, and he's going to have to play him. You know, he's going to have to find a place to play him.
As you've watched the last few games, I mean, Arkansas is deep at catcher. Parker Rowland, Helfrick, White, any of those guys you think, and I know they're all getting some time. White came in as a Hudson White came in as a pinch hitter and finished out the game on Tuesday. None of them are setting the world on fire from the plate, and I know Dave wanted to have a hitting catcher, but are you seeing anything defensively that makes one, in your mind, as a former pitcher stand out? Is there any separation there, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, not you know, since I'm not throwing to him, you can't really get comfortable with him. You get comfortable with a catcher the way he calls a game, and they let them call the game, which I think is fantastic. So I haven't really seen anything that sticks out to where one guy is head and shoulders above the other guys. And, you know, you can be deep at catcher, but if you're deep with greatness, that's one thing. If you're deep with, they're all kind of interchangeable. So if they're all interchangeable, that's not always a good thing. You need to have one guy that's going to step up and be the guy. And if he's struggling with the bat a little bit, then you can bring somebody else in and not really have a fall off. But I'd like to see somebody really, really take the bull by the horns and step up and not only hit the ball, but block the ball, call good a game, and throw guys down to second base. You know, every coach would love to have that.
I guess the defensive side of it should be a given, and you know, anything extra at the plate's a kind of a bonus, right?
Yeah, it's not so much stepping up and doing better. They're trying to. It's almost like they're trying not to mess up. You know, and if you're trying not to mess up, you're not going to excel. So I think maybe they'll loosen up a little bit. You know, that's hard to tell. Everybody's different. I think they handle the pitchers pretty well. You don't see very many times that they get crossed up, and their signs are good, I guess. But I guess they use a wristband now, so giving signals aren't as big of a deal.
Yeah, I'm ready to see Stovall back in this lineup, him healthy, and kind of see how Dave handles that infield. You know. You assume Holt goes to third. I mean, you assume Aloy and McLaughlin stay in their spots, but I'll be interested to see how this lineup looks when he returns.
It's all going to be based on how he produces when he comes back, because you know he's going to put him in there, and somebody's going to have to, with a good attitude, you know, take a seat because he's a proven entity. And, you know, back when he played with Norm, he'd scratch his head, you know, who they're not going to put in. You know, I need somebody else to step up and be a good player. Now they've got the problem of, which good hitter am I going to take out of the lineup? Which good player am I going to move? You know, you want to keep them happy. So you've got a good problem to have, but you want to see him really get in there and produce.
Scott, you bring up Norm. We were joking about coaching cliches earlier. What was the phrase? And again, we're on FCC restricted airwaves. So maybe can't say everything, but what was the phrase you remember that Coach DeBrine used to say back in the day?
Yeah, the first phrase I ever remember hearing him say and it's not even, it's just the way he was. He's sitting there and he's got his head, he's looking at his notebook and he's scratching his head with his pen and he's looking around and he's walking back and forth and he goes, looks at me one time and he goes, Dave, you know, I don't know, you know? And I looked at him and I said, yes, sir, no, sir. I don't know what to say. And that was his circle around when he couldn't really, he could just kind of
cross you up.
Was, you know, I don't know, you know? And I go, yes, sir. I don't know. No, sir. Yes, sir. So, I don't know. He had a lot of them that most of them you couldn't say.
Yeah. Saw a coach the other day at an event at Sterling Bank that honored our friend Dean Weber, and coach looked great. Looked great as always. So it was good to see him.
I'll tell you, the man's amazing. Never changes. You know, he looked that way back in the '70s. So it's he's a pretty sharp guy.
Well, Scott, enjoy the games, and hopefully the weather will get on the right side of things, and we'll get three games in this weekend.
Yep, 3-0 going into conference strong.
All right, we'll talk next Friday and get ready for the first conference series.
All right, brother. Go Hogs.
Tommy, is it a bad look if I go in there with my student ID to get a discount? Bad look?
There's not many students with receding hairlines. Yeah, I think they'd probably look at you.
There
little,
it is.
A little sharper. Chuck, what'd you hear there with Scott? I know, you know, things are a little bit in flux this weekend with the weather, but you got to see the game on Tuesday. I mean, you know, I thought it was valuable for Arkansas to get a battle with UCA to, you know, get ready for these games that are coming up that are going to matter a lot in the SEC.
Two things from Scott. One is that you do not take a good hitter out of the lineup for someone who is supposed to be a good hitter. That's the first thing. And, you know, the overriding thing that I hear when we talk about all these things that are happening with the baseball team is how we do overlook sometimes the challenges a coach faces coaching a team filled with great players. We know the challenges a coach faces when he's got a team that doesn't have enough great players. We understand that. But, you know, you think about Arkansas's baseball situation right now, and it's this way with any good team in any sport where the expectations are high. You're too deep. Man, if one guy screws up, so what? I got somebody else to put in. There's a challenge there because you don't want to be the guy that messes it up because you can screw it up. I've seen it screwed up. I've seen teams loaded with talent that are so screwed up from the neck up, so to speak, that they don't win. And so you've got to plug the right pieces in the right spot. There's still a great challenge, even if you've got multiple stars. In fact, sometimes the challenge is even greater. It's different. Most coaches don't deal with that. Most coaches are dealing with a lack of talent. Yeah. Sometimes you've got to not mess up the team that you've put together. And there is a greater challenge there maybe than we talk about.
You mentioned, Tommy, you mentioned just assuming Peyton Stovall's going to go back into the lineup and then Holt's going to move to third. Sprague Lott's in over 400.
Holt played third on Tuesday.
Yeah,
well, Sprague Lott's the leading hitter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's hitting 417.
I mean, what are you going to do? You going to sit him?
He's hitting 417 right now, and he played.
And that's my point.
Yeah, to go to the truck. I don't think and like Vahevo Aloy is. It was good to see him hit that grand slam, but he has not hit well this season. Nope. So
yeah,
we
but you're not going to like plug a different shortstop in. He's going to play shortstop for you probably. Yeah.
But, you know, Nolan Souza's played more of late. I know that the numbers aren't as thick on at-bats, but, you know, he didn't even get a hit on Tuesday, and he's averaging .333. So he's making a case after some good play the previous weekend. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have, but, you know, decisions have to be made.
What's interesting about go ahead, Chuck.
Go ahead, Ty. No.
I was going to say what's interesting about Sprague Lott is Sprague Lott was known from Richmond for being like a defensive stalwart in the infield. Instead, like he's probably had more errors than have been expected to this point. He's hit the crap out of the baseball. So I don't know Like you said, that is a more difficult decision that we realize when you have more talent and you don't have an excess of playing time because of the limited number of players on a baseball diamond.
Extra outs are what gets you beat. You can't play somebody just because they're a hitter. You've got to have a player that doesn't cost you runs, particularly at that spot at third base and particularly behind the plate. You can have big bats at those spots, but you better not have guys that cost you runs.
And you mentioned, Tommy, you were asking Scott about the best defensive catcher is Parker Rowland, but he's not the best hitter. He was not a good hitter last year. He's probably not that much improved this year. So Dave's trying to factor in with these other guys, with Helfrich, White. I'm forgetting the other guy that's factoring in, but that is what he's trying to deal with, is like what Chuck just said. It's like you're trying to get as many hits out of the lineup as possible in the batting order, but at the same time, not have errors, not have those key defensive mistakes, especially when you get into these tighter postseason games when it's not 10-10 or whatever it's going to be.
I don't know that there's a general rule to follow. For example, if you got four or five guys in your lineup and they're just scorching it right now, I mean, you're scoring 8-9 runs a ball game. You got one catcher or one position player that's really good defensively, and you'd like to have him on the field, well, that's when you play him, because you're scoring runs. Now, if you get into a situation where you're not scoring runs, sometimes you may play the guy that gives you a chance to get going offensively. So during the course of a long season, I don't know that, frankly, you're going to need four, but again, you've got to figure out who gives you the best chance to win, and that's not always as simple as it sounds.
Just want to give everyone an update on our schedule this weekend. No baseball game today. It has been moved to tomorrow, doubleheader. We are going to have Arkansas basketball, and then we'll have the second game of baseball. So Chuck and Z will be courtside starting at 10:30, and then we'll have the game itself, then Hog Reaction with myself and Matt Jones, and then we'll lead right into what will be about the time that the second game gets going. There's a 45-minute gap between game one, which starts at 12, and then game two, which we'll probably get going right around 4, which we'll lean into baseball at that point. So that's kind of our setup tomorrow, Tommy, on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com and our Hit That Line Now app.
Yeah, if you haven't downloaded the app, get that. So if you're on the go tomorrow, going to be good weather. If you're out in the yard playing golf, fishing, whatever you're doing, you can use that app to listen to the game in most of our listening areas.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So I mentioned Arkansas taking on Alabama tomorrow. Chuck and Z will be courtside starting at 10:30 right here on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. Here was Eric Musselman talking about the challenge that Alabama poses.
A team that we know will be ready to play. You know, you never want to walk in and play a team after they've lost, especially a team that has a chance to play for a national championship like Alabama does. So we just got to regroup. A lot of guys played a lot of minutes. Got to get them fresh and ready to play on an early, here we go again, opponent. Played on Tuesday, we played on Wednesday, and we have a tip-off before you can eat a bagel. So, I mean, it's a yearly occurrence for us to go play at Alabama. So we just go there, and we know they're going to be ready to play. We know they'll have a great crowd. We know they're explosive in transition. We know they want to take a lot of threes and try to get to the rim and take as many layups. You know, we know Sears and Estrada throw rifle passes with their left hand when they get in the lane for spit-out threes. Now we got to try to do everything we can to defend them.
And that's what kind of what we talked about earlier. Arkansas is not going to be able to hold down Alabama and Coleman Coliseum, but you got to, again, not let them get over 100 points like they did multiple times this season. You heard him mention Estrada and Sears, two lefties that are very crafty. Sears carved you up last year in Bud Wallen Arena. He is an excellent guard, very strong, got Jalen Brunson type moves, and it really starts with stopping him tomorrow, Chuck. I don't know who's going to be assigned to him defensively, thinking Devo if he gets the start or wherever he plays, but that's really the key to their whole offense is Mark Sears.
Well, he's a great player, and they've got a lot of great players on that team. They can score, they can do a lot of things, and I'm certain that they'll be loaded and ready to play in their home arena tomorrow, and the idea that because they've struggled on the road means they're going to come back home on senior day and lay an egg. That's wishful thinking and then some. They'll come loaded and ready to play. And Arkansas has got to do the same thing.
It's looking for Nate Oates talking about Arkansas, but since football spring practice has started, no Alabama fans actually care about that basketball team or what Nate Oates has to say in regards to the Arkansas Razorback football team. I know, or basketball team. I know a lot of you care about what Sam Pittman has to say. He's going to be talking with the media later on today, a little after 11 o'clock. Get a chance to watch their practice again closer to 9 today. So we'll give you some updates about that on Halftime, Ruskin and Zach. And then also on the Morning Rush on Monday. No Arkansas baseball today, like we were talking about with Scott. They will play tomorrow starting at 12. And then the second game will be about 45 minutes after, so yeah, probably about 4 o'clock or so.
Yeah, about a 70% chance of rain forecasted for Fayetteville today. So it's going to be a wet one here in northwest Arkansas. And tomorrow's forecast looks great. So that field drains really well. We talk about that all, you talk about cliches. We say that all the time, but it does. They've got the pumps and everything underneath. So, Chuck, I don't think the playing surface will be a problem at all for the doubleheader on Saturday.
No, it'll be fine tomorrow. It'll be chilly, it sounds like, but the sun will be out. So, yeah, they'll get two games in. That's the, you know, the biggest adjustment in all this is just playing two games. I mean, it's a long, long day because if your first game's at noon and you're the home team, you know, you're taking BP by 10 o'clock in the morning, and which means you've been at the ballpark for a while before that. And then you, you know, by the time you're out of there after the game, I mean, it's a 12-hour day for those players and coaches.
All right, that's going to do it for your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, we got plenty of basketball to discuss. Talked about Alabama and Arkansas, other SEC matchups before the tournament in Nashville. Also got some prop bets we will get to on the Arkansas baseball team as we welcome in our friend Sean the Fence Man for another Fence Man Friday.
Fenceman Friday Picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, we'll start with the biggest game of the weekend, Tommy. Tennessee hosting the Kentucky Wildcats as 3-point favorites. If you remember, Tennessee went to Rupp and scored 100-plus on John Calipari earlier this season. Do the Wildcats return the favor, or does Tennessee cover tomorrow, the three-point spread?
Tennessee doesn't have anything left to play for in the regular season of the SEC. I guess they're still making a bid for a number one seed. Kentucky's tough at home. I'm going to go with the Wildcats.
Well, it's in, Tommy, it's in Knoxville.
Oh, I heard you backwards. Okay, I'm going with the home team then. That's going to say, going with the home team.
Tommy likes that home floor advantage.
Well, I do. It's tough in Thompson Bowl. I don't know, South Carolina won there earlier this season, but I think you mentioned the aspect of playing for the one seed. I've got Tennessee covering tomorrow. I think that's a huge part of them not just winning tomorrow against Kentucky, but winning next week in Nashville too, Chuck.
Yeah, they're bid for the number one overall seed, Chuck.
Yeah. I think, in fact, today as we speak, they are a number one overall seed. Based on that win at South Carolina, I think they got a whole serve, and I think they will.
They closed out their regular season, Sean, with 4 straight ranked teams, and they'll get that tomorrow. Again, they're 3-point favorites. You going with the Cats or the Vols?
Go Vols all the way.
All right, another game we'll get into. Georgia takes on the Auburn Tigers. Auburn is a 12-point favorite. Georgia's falling off a cliff, Tommy.
Where's this game at?
This is at Auburn.
Okay. Yeah, welcome to the jungle.
Yeah,
give me Auburn.
It's going to be a blowout, Chuck. Auburn wins this game by 15 to 20 plus tomorrow.
I would think so. Yeah, Auburn bid.
Are you going to Oppo Taco, Sean, or are you staying on the Georgia train?
No. We'll stay with the home team. You know they're going to get it done.
Okay. Before we talk Arkansas basketball in Coleman, Hagan Smith tomorrow, Tommy, over 8.5 strikeouts, but under 74.5 pitches. Does he get
nine
strikeouts, but he's got to do it in 74 or less pitches. Does he accomplish that tomorrow?
Be a little cooler. I want to say no.
No.
Won't go that, may not go that long.
What about you, Sean? Does he get it done tomorrow in that time frame?
I'm like Tommy. I think with the weather's going to be affecting it, so no.
All right. I think he does. I think we saw the Hagan last week. that we're going to see all season. Probably not going to see the same Hagan and Globot. That was an unreal performance, but I think he gets it tomorrow. All right, Arkansas is a
career performance.
Arkansas is a 9-point dog in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. They played well on the road lately. I'm going to take Arkansas to cover. I don't think they're going to win, Tommy, but I expect them to cover against the Crimson Tide tomorrow.
I hope you're right. I'm just going to go opposite to be opposite. Give me Alabama.
Is Arkansas cover tomorrow, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Go Hogs.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Sean Andrews' son just got ranked nationally in the top 25 on Rivals, so he is going to be highly looked at. We got a text here from Jacob in Fort Smith asking where Layden Blocker's little brother Lander is going. He's currently committed to Louisiana Tech. I don't think he's signed there, but that is the situation with Layden's little brother right now. So those are the four games from yesterday. We got plenty of more this weekend. On the boys' side, we'll get to those first, and we'll talk about the ladies. Valonia takes on Greenwood, and then Conway and Central today, and then you've got Norfolk against Mammoth Springs tomorrow, and then also Mansville against Mount Vernon. Olia, Tommy, you're the high school
Mount
one.
Mount Vernon and NOLA.
NOLA, so. Okay. That's the boys, the remaining four boys' state championship games. On the girls' side, you have Pine Bluff against Bryant at Central, or against Central, Mark Tree versus Nevada, and then Marshall against East Poinsett County are the remaining state championships where you're at, Tommy. I have not been to those in 10 plus years, but kind of like Chuck just alluded to, and for those that have made that trip down to Hot Springs, it's a great setup. They should never move that tournament. Hot Springs does a great job with that weekend, and I enjoyed going to those state championship games back in the day.
Yeah, so you enjoyed him so much, you hadn't been in 10 years. That's great.
I got busy with college and work and doing the show and whatnot, but it is pretty. Yeah. It's a cool setup.
It is good because it's special. You know, I mean, back when I was in high school, you just played the state championship game as the final game of the state tournament, wherever that location was. I remember watching one of those great Little Rock Parkview teams take on my alma mater, Fort Smith Southside, at Tucker Coliseum, and it was one of Rip's best teams with Dion Cross and Derek Fisher. They had six guys signed Division I scholarships, and Barry Lunny. Barry Lunny Jr. was on the Southside team, kind of the leader of that. And, you know, they played that at Tucker because that's where the state tournament was. Now they bring them all together. They did it in Pine Bluff for a number of years. It's moved around a little bit, but it's been Hot Springs for a while. And I think it's a great setup. It's centrally located enough that everybody enjoys going to Hot Springs, so it's really, you're right, it is a great setup, and it makes it special to be a part of a state championship game for those kids and those coaches.
So I know
the fans.
Yeah, we got a lot of probably grandkids, nieces, nephews, friend of a friend that are participating in some way, shape, or form. You got kids in the band, you got cheerleaders, whatever. So have fun this weekend if you're in Hot Springs. Also, as you mentioned earlier, going to Oaklawn this weekend.
Yeah, well, they were racing yesterday at Oakland when I drove by.
So. Yeah, and that's a place that Sam Pittman every once in a while frequents when he goes to Lake Hamilton, but he's got his focus on this Arkansas football team in spring practice right now. And I know we've already gotten questions about the quarterback position role. One of the interesting comments made yesterday about the quarterback is what Landon Jackson said about Taylen Green. Here were your defensive end's comments about, apparently, a quarterback's got some wheels.
He has a great arm, but I feel like he could dominate you with running the ball. I mean, there was times where I had him out leveraged whenever I was surfing, and I had him out leveraged, and he'll still pull it and still get outside. So when it comes down to it, I mean, if he really needs to, he's going to use his feet and get those yards.
And that was, I think, one of the things that intrigued a lot of Arkansas fans when they saw highlights of Taylen initially at Boise State is, I mean, Bobby seems like big quarterbacks. We think about Ryan Mallett, but Tommy, you initially kind of likened to our teammate, Matt Jones, with that 6'6", 6'7", frame, and he can fly. I don't know. He didn't have 4'4", 4'3", speed like Matt had, but 4'6", and 4'7", ain't too shabby either.
Let's not get carried away with is he Matt Jones, because there's only one Matt Jones. But the frame and the measurements and the dimensions are there. Matt just had a way of eluding tacklers that made him the legend he is. But, you know, you got to have someone that makes some guys miss, some guys that can kind of freelance, Chuck, because those seem to be the most dangerous guys at times is the freelancers that get into open space and get you first downs.
Well, they're the guys the defensive coordinator has to account for as a runner as they prepare during the week. And you've got to commit a man to that guy who can run the ball. And that's the reason that they all, you know, that's the reason they all love the running quarterback.
It's completely changed the game, college football, and not just college football. We're seeing the National Football League, too, with guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and whatnot. I don't know if we'll ever revert back to the stoic Peyton Mannings of the world, but that is currently where both leagues are right now at this point. And I'm going to be honest. I told Chuck, I don't know if you were listening earlier. I mean, if we had odds on the Bet Saracen app right now, Taylen Green's got clear. He's like minus 500 for quarterback one. Quarterback's already been decided, in my opinion. Now, I know that, again, Sam Pittman and Bobby Petrino, I guess Sam Pittman's already said via 247 Sports that they're going to decide at the end of spring. QB's already been decided. Taylen Green's going to be your quarterback one this fall. I would put, if I was allowed to do so, I would put an insane amount of money on that unless he gets injured. I think that's the question people wonder about right now, if that has indeed gone down already, if the decision's been made, not publicly, but privately.
Well, I think that one of the things you do have to realize is that them throwing and catching yesterday was not the first time they've thrown and caught. They've been doing a lot of work. There's been, they've been getting acquainted with one another and how they play, so to speak. So, that was interesting to me yesterday, was the fact that, you know, he ran with the ones. And from what I read, I mean, obviously we were on the air during the bulk of all this, but from what I read, he worked almost exclusively with the ones, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, I mean, I think you look at it after the first day and you do wonder if they've already decided which direction they'd like to go. Doesn't mean they will, but you know what happened yesterday certainly begs a question.
And we always talk about these situations. We say the players ultimately decide who ends up being not just starting quarterback, starting point guard. I mean, you can toss in any scenario there. And like, if you play with a certain guy and you play better, that's typically going to be the starter. Here was Andrew Armstrong talking about, kind of like you were talking, the winner and just the setup when it comes to these quarterbacks.
We've been throwing like all winter break, after workouts, before workouts, you know, getting up there early and things like that, trying to get our timing right. So I feel like the battle right now is going. So I'm pretty sure by the end of spring, you know, they'll probably have a sort of idea. But right now, it's all up in the air right now. It's fun watching them battle, watching them have the discussion with us on, like, the timing of the routes, like out routes or comebacks or fade, like, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's just overall fun. Like, everybody got their different things. You know, Malachi, he can throw it deep. He can run. They all do, like, you know, they all can run, they all can throw. It's not really the point I could just make for each one. Like, I feel like they're all just great.
He used the word timing twice. We talked about this, I don't know if it was yesterday or Monday, but we talked about the importance of timing. I can tell you that, you know, when you watch any of Coach Petrino's offenses over the years, timing is so critical. And that's what they've been working on. You know, that's what they do work on before and after workouts, just like Andrew was saying right there. So I think they've got an idea about perhaps who can serve them best in that regard. But one thing I do know is that whoever's playing the best is the guy that's going to start. Nobody's been guaranteed anything other than you're going to have a chance to compete for it. And just because you went out there first on the first day of spring practice does not mean you'll go out there first over Labor Day weekend. And it certainly doesn't mean that when you get to the meaningful games in November, you're still going to be the guy. But it does give us an indication of how some of the sessions that Andrew was talking about there have gone. If you listen to what he says, you kind of get an idea that, you know, maybe Green's been the best in that area.
And speaking of those sessions, one of the things that Sam Pittman has expanded is the 7-on-7, not just for his quarterback and wide receivers, but they've got some new secondary players they want to see as well.
You know, obviously, I think everybody knows we went in the portal and got Taylen Green, who we're ecstatic. We're very happy he's on our football team. But I think, you know, obviously with competition, everybody gets better out of it. And so we're going to approach that. For one thing, we've extended 7-on-7. We've got some quarterbacks that we need to see. We have some receivers. Jordan Anthony's a new receiver. We have some new safeties, a corner. And so we've extended 7-on-7 period up to 8 minutes each day because we've got to evaluate these quarterbacks. We've got to do it early. I would like to know exactly who the starting quarterback is coming out of spring ball. I think we can, but the only way you can do that is give the kids more reps to give them more opportunity to compete. So that's one of the ways that we're going to get that evaluated.
You know, evaluating your defensive backs is a byproduct of that. But if you listen to what he says, I mean, by far and away, the reason they're doing that is to evaluate the quarterbacks. But getting, getting a better look perhaps at your defensive backs is a byproduct.
What I think is funny, you remember Bobby's old MO? It's like when a defensive player kind of either got a pick or got a sack or something, and he'd rip him a new one because he was really focused on the offense. I don't think we're going to see that this spring practice or fall camp. I think there's not going to be a lot of that we saw back in the day.
I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, we'll just, we'll have to see how that transpires. But, Bobby Petrino's not the head coach. I mean, Sam Pittman's the head coach. So the head coach dictates the tone of practice.
Yep, and we talked a lot about the wide receivers and quarterbacks there. Just got a text from Ty, who was at practice yesterday, one of the guys that works for Pig Trail Nation. He was talking about Braylon Russell. And we mentioned him a little bit yesterday, but Braylon comes in. He's like 250 pounds. Kid out of Benton, looks really good. He's behind a lot. He's behind Augustive. He's behind Jackson. He's behind Dominique Johnson. But I mean, you mentioned this with Broderick Green yesterday, Chuck. Petrino likes big backs, and if this guy, even as a freshman, can make an impact, they might play him a little bit, see what he can do.
I bet we see him in goal line. That's where I bet we see him.
He's a guy that there's some guys that get to campus, and you're just like, he's a football player immediately, and you're just surprised that he's already developed. Rocket Sanders, for example, like you saw his football picture immediately. It's like, that guy's a football player. Peyton Hillis immediately gets to campus. He was ready to go. I don't know if Braylon Russell's necessarily going to amount to what Hillis was and what Rocket is, but at least from a look standpoint, he definitely has the football player look to him.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, and we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. As I said a minute ago, I think you'll see him in goal line. That's where I think he'll contribute.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, right about the fact that Petrino used to like, or at least he has a history of liking bigger backs. I don't know anyone that doesn't like to have one of those around. But, again, what happened 15 years ago with a guy like Cody Walker or a Kiero Small or, someone of that nature, not that Kiero was, you know, tall, but he was a powerful back. Doesn't mean exactly that's the way it's going to be done this year. It still comes back to, we can talk about these quarterbacks and running backs, and having Luke Haas back is going to be a big deal, wide receivers. Guys, I mean, it's not as sexy a conversation, but if that offensive line isn't ready to perform at an SEC level, it's going to be a problem. And that's what really matters more coming out of spring than anything for me is,
does there seem to be a good 7 or 8 man rotation you can build on, and 5 solid starters at each spot that you can go with, and then a few utility players that can be mixed and matched, and you can move guys around and not have a huge drop off? Chuck, having 8 guys that can play up front is the most important thing, I think, that has to come out of spring.
Well, it all works together. I mean, it really does. It all starts with a quarterback. And you know, to me, if you were to say what's the most important thing, I would still say the quarterback. But the offensive line, look, it's got to be better than what it was a year ago. And they know that. And they brought new guys in. And, you know, they believe that it will be. And but it's, you know, it's all got to work in tandem. It's you know, it's the ultimate team game, as they say, and I know that's a cliche, but it really is. And but yeah, the offensive line's got to be a focal point, and they know that. And I found it interesting yesterday that you know, Pittman spent a little bit more time with the offensive line, and you know, he's got a new coach there in Eric Mateos, who's really good, very reputable, and so. It sounds like both those guys have gone to work on that O-line, and so we'll see how it goes.
Well, and Mateos, he's kind of like Pittman, so of course Arkansas football goes 4-8. Baylor had a terrible offensive line last year, and they've had better under him. They've had all-conference guys, but they were horrid last year. So I think Mateos has gone in that same thinking where he wants to bounce back. Different team, different players, and he's hoping to have a much better season for his position group, kind of like Pittman is overall with this team to this point.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, that's the area, because it's Sam Pittman's team. We expect to be really good. So, you know, that's the area that kind of let things down last year, no question.
All right, so Landon Jackson also was talking about just the fact that fans are coming in on Saturday. He's excited about that. Here was what he had to say, and Andrew Armstrong and Spence too.
I personally love it. I feel like that gives us a more realistic feel, you know? I mean, it kind of gives us that urge for game day, you know? Because that's one thing I always disliked about spring ball is we're practicing, but we don't ever have nothing to look forward to at the.
And he mentioned the Saturdays, Chuck, being like three spring games. Like they have, with fans being in attendance, it's like, hey, we got not just the big spring game, but we got others that, with them being in the house, we got something to look forward to.
Oh, I think people will look forward to it. I think people are going to look forward to coming, and I think there'll be big Saturdays.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.